Good morning, this is Scott Wheeler, the host of the Vermont Voice, a program of 1490 AM WIKE in Derby. The Vermont Voice is brought to you today by the generous sponsorship of the Orleans-Essex Visiting Nurses Association and Hospice, providing more than 40 years of quality, compassionate home care in the Northeast Kingdom.
Today's guest is one of the most powerful legislators in the Vermont State House, and probably no other legislator has done more for the Northeast Kingdom. Our guest is Senator Vince Aluzzi. Senator Aluzzi recently lost his race for the Vermont State Auditor's position. This coming legislative session will be his first year in 32 years that he hasn't had a seat under the Gold Dome. Welcome to the show, Vince.
Thank you very much, Scott.
You know, we've known each other, I think, for quite a number of years. I think I first met you when I was a reporter for the Chronicle. And I will tell you, I think in my years of covering legislature, either as a reporter and then as a legislator myself, I think I've earned a pretty good reputation of predicting races. I was floored when you lost.
Well, I was surprised myself, as were every newspaper in the state that endorsed me and a lot of the organizations that typically support Democratic candidates who endorse me. It was a surprise.
So what happened?
Well, you know, ultimately the candidate is responsible for winning or losing a race. All I can say is that I did my best. I worked hard all summer. I tried to get to parts of the state where people told me to save my gas money and not bother going there, but I nonetheless went because I wanted to make sure that the issues and interests of those areas were reflected in my campaign. But in the end, I think it was a combination of factors. One, I don't have the population base in the Northeast Kingdom that my opponent did from Chittenden County. Secondly, I'm not as well known outside of either the Northeast Kingdom or the Montpelier area, where most legislators and support staff live and work. And I do think being a Republican in a year when Obama really drew out voters primarily to vote for him, all combined to result in my defeat.
You know, though, you may have been defeated, but you have been such a class act in losing. Because I remember a couple of years ago, a legislator in the Northeast Kingdom lost, and he actually wrote in the paper, you know, kind of trash talking those who voted against him. And, I saw that, and I lost a lot of respect. But on the other hand, is the way you've handled it is, I thought you hit it head on. You admitted you were disappointed.
Right. No question about that. I made a decision to leave the Vermont Senate long before I decided to run for another office. And so the question was, what office do I run for? And when Tom Salmon announced that he was not seeking reelection, I saw it as an opportunity to really talk about myself and my accomplishments and my goals. But that will, you know, not come to pass as far as being able to serve in that capacity. But there is no one to blame, really, except yourself. It's like anything else in life. You have to take responsibility. And ultimately, it was my decision to run as a Republican and not as an independent. It was my campaign strategy. And so, you know, there are a number of factors that influence the outcome. But ultimately, it's the candidate's responsibility.
Well, what now? I will tell you, I've been telling a lot of people, because a lot of people are shocked that you lost. And I said, if I were a betting man, I said, I would expect to see your name on the ballot during the next election, running for your old seat. Is that going to happen?
Not unless there are some changes at the State House. I mean, I left for a reason, and don't want to return to that same situation. It's been a very frustrating place. Of course, I have the benefit of a 32-year horizon, a timeline. So I was there in the 1980s when people who served were business leaders, community leaders who saw it as their obligation to the state to serve and provide what experience and knowledge they had to the political process. But as time has passed, the folks who run are activists who have a particular viewpoint, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it's a different makeup of the legislature. And now with Democrats in charge with supermajorities in the House and Senate and the governor's office, the debate on issues on the floor really don't amount to what they used to back in the 80s and 90s and early part of this decade.
Yeah, because even during my short tenure down there, because I commend you for being able to put up with that for 32 years, because after 4 years, I said, I'm gonna pack my bags and go do something productive, because you're right. There's a lot of good people who serve under the Gold Dome, but on the other hand, what a lot of voters don't understand is when we hear a Democrat or a Republican down there. They're not the same Democrats and Republicans out in the general community sometimes. Like I do believe that most Vermonters are moderate. I mean, whether they're moderate Republicans, moderate Democrats, or just moderate independents, I do not believe that they are neither left nor right. But that's really what you get.
Right. And, you think about it. Many people don't – a lot of people are not registered to vote.
Right.
Of the ones who are registered to vote, what, about 60% voted this year? And of those, as you look at the results, there, you have basically a quarter of the voters, a quarter of the state's population electing candidates, and in some cases by relatively close margins. And perhaps there is disenchantment, lack of interest. It's very rare that you have large numbers of voters getting out. You know, I've seen it in the past where we had up to an 80% turnout. Like everything else in life, it appears as though voting is going by the wayside, as we've seen social service clubs and other organizations struggle to attract membership.
For those of you just tuning in, our guest this morning is Senator Vince Saluzzi. You know, the other thing I have seen in my short time, relatively short time, 15 or so years of being involved in politics in one form or another, is there's way more emphasis on signs. When you started, did you put out many signs?
I've never used signs except this year, and of course all the pundits said, well, you got to use signs, and so I got some signs, right. But didn't use many in this area, didn't actually use many around the state.
And, I hate to say, I used to argue that signs don't really work, because when I vote for somebody, I really try to understand who they are and what they stand for. But after, I have come to the conclusion that they work, because, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who vote sheerly for two reasons, name recognition and party affiliation.
Right.
And so, if you get out there and you just you blitz your name out there, it seems to work.
Right, and in this particular case, I used a limited number of signs, but I find that this year, probably more than most, and I could tell campaigning around the state this summer, that running on a Republican ticket was really going to be an uphill challenge. It was starting to race out with your right and left hand tied behind your back.
No, tell me, though, when I look at our political system in Montpelier, I don't care if it was a Republican majority. When you start getting into super majorities, like the super majority of the Democrats have now, if you're a Democrat, you might be really excited about having that super majority. But in the long run, I think a super majority can actually do a lot of damage to our state.
Right. It's like, think about a trial or trying to figure out, I'm trying to use an analogy where you have, you know, you're a supervisor and you've got a problem at work and you're trying to figure out what happened between two employees. And you ask questions and you probe and you challenge, somewhat like a trial where you really put people to the test to find out what the facts are from the competing evidence. And so in the legislature, when writing legislation, it's always good to have someone challenge and question and probe, because in the final analysis, the legislation that passes is often changed in response to those questions and comments. You end up with a better piece of legislation, right, with a better policy. That doesn't happen now. Debate is discouraged, and to the extent that debate used to be able to sway votes on the floor, that doesn't happen anymore. So floor debates have become a footnote of what they were back in the, at least during my time period, the 80s and 90s and earlier part of this century. And that's not good. It doesn't result in good government. You have legislation that's, although aimed in the right direction, it's not as focused, it's not as directed, it's not as effective as it could be if there had been more vigorous debate on the floor and in the during the committee process.
Right, and I agree. And talk about the committee process. I was in a leadership role on the healthcare committee, and it really surprised me that we were given a bill to discuss, and we were supposed to take all this testimony. So we called all these people in who basically thought they really had a say,
mm-hmm,
but we already knew largely because the speaker would direct us to what the outcome. We could take all the testimony we wanted, but largely the outcome was already preordained.
Right. You have to really serve in the legislature to understand that the committee hearing process is often for show or form only.
Oh, sure it is.
And, for example, there's one committee chair in the Senate now whose regular comment is, I'm waiting for instructions from the governor's office. So you've got a room full of people, you know, 30 people sitting there who have, you know, some have traveled long distances, some have prepared extensive testimony. And to hear the chairman of the committee say, well, we're going to go through the formality of holding a hearing, but we're waiting for the direction from the governor's office on how to proceed. That's the kind of thing that drove me out of the Vermont Senate.
Right. And in a similar vein, another thing that put me off was, there is a lot of good in the State House, but like one of the things I used to sit there, and this was actually talked about out loud, is when we had a controversial bill, you would always try to tie it to something that could pull at the heartstrings. Like, for example, I remember once how we were sitting there, we had to tie it to senior citizens, we had to tie it to children, we had to tie it to farmers and veterans, because then, if somebody dared to vote against it, you'd say, oh, you must be against children, or you must be against senior citizens. And, you know, there is a lot of actually really sick game playing.
Yeah. I don't know if that happens. I have not really seen that happen in the Senate. You know, in the Senate, there's 30 members, and most of them are and most serve on at least two committees, sometimes three. So I don't see that type of debate swaying the votes one way or another. The House, of course, is different. You have 150,
right.
And usually the leadership tries to dictate how things will move forward.
Because the Senate operates a whole, you know, quite a bit different. So, all right, so you have been a real force in Orleans County. You know what? Even people who don't like Vince Alluzzi will admit that you have done a lot for this area. Like, I couldn't even begin to count the number of projects that you made happen.
Right.
What are you doing now? Well, you know, I know you're a man who doesn't sleep. You have no need for sleep. You have numerous jobs. But
it
would seem to me that it would be such a waste for you not to use those talents, because, you know, you've done so much.
Well, I do take pride. I was chairman of the Institutions Committee from 1991 until 2004. What's that, 14 or 16 mm-hmm. years? And during the 90s, you know, we were able to, when there was, there was good revenue, we did a number of projects up in this area. you know, the dialysis facility at the hospital, the career center, $18 million, 100% state money. And just so you know the story, there was some controversy about that this past campaign. The decision to fund three facilities at 100% was made by myself, Senator Peter Shumlin, Senator Dick Mazza, and Representative Robert Wood of Brandon, who died of brain cancer about 8 years ago. That's how that decision came about. The one in Brattleboro was built. The one in Newport was built. The one in Chittenden County, which we referred to as the Chittenden County Technical Education Academy, was defeated because it was going to be a new educational institution. And the teachers were led to believe that they would all have to reapply for their positions. And, of course, that scared them and the support staff. So for reasons not really tied to the project, it went down. You know, it was a red herring. But the fact remains, you know, the state police office, the 911 center, reconstructing downtown Newport, that was about a $20 million project where I said, look, we've got to take advantage of this lake like they do up in Quebec. And so as chairman of that committee, I had access to between $90 and $100 million a year. And I think for the first time in Vermont history, I was in a position to direct substantial resources to not only the Northeast Kingdom, but in particular the Newport-Derby area, helped out the Orleans County Fair with one of its buildings there, a historical society in Brownington. And, the railroad saved the railroad station in Island Pond, helped the Holland Historical Society. I mean, those are just a handful of the numerous projects that I really worked hard to accomplish, and they were really investments in community. For years, we heard that the Northeast Kingdom was forgotten, but when I was there, it was front and center, and I think that's perhaps where even my detractors will have to admit that I represented the people who elected me. I danced with the ones that brung me, as they say.
Yeah, you mentioned how you wanted that clarification. It was interesting to watch the other person run on your record.
Right.
But I guess if you can wake up in the morning and feel good about yourself and live with yourself, I guess that's okay. Now, you were always known as a very moderate Republican. You know, you were a center-of-the-line person, you know, as I was when I was down there. Do you think you're losing the center of the line people who really try to work on both sides?
Well, I think there's fewer and fewer of them. I think we've seen that with regard to Republicans. The Republican Party nationally has taken out moderate Republicans. I was often referred to as a rhino, a Republican in name only. And so as the Republican Party has shifted to the ultra-right conservative, and I don't mean necessarily Vermont, I'm talking about across America, you find that the moderates that used to represent towns and, you know, cities in Vermont and New England simply are not there anymore. You saw that with the U.S. Senate race in, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Maine, three incumbents this past election cycle, three incumbent Republicans, Richard Lugar of Indiana, moderate, well-respected in Washington, were all taken out in primaries, Republican primaries. And I think the Republican Party is going to have to do a lot of soul-searching, because if you leave the party in the hands of the ultra-right, I think we're going to just continue to see defeat after defeat at the ballot box every 2 or 4 years.
But on the other hand, I agree with you totally, but I watched in the State House, and I was stunned how brutal the leadership of the Democratic Party, how they, they could rule their people ruthlessly, and they too would run somebody, against a moderate Democrat. I've got to admit myself, I made myself a villain within the Republican Party to the leadership right from the beginning, and I'm kind of proud of it, because I could just never vote party line. But I think it's really a a two-sided thing. I think it's the Democrats and the Republicans. Personally, one of the things I did when I announced I wasn't running for office again, I also announced I am now an independent because I believe in the state of Vermont, the Republican Party is in a free fall.
Right.
When you run for office, you understand that the other side are going to come at you. I believe that the support that the Republican Party gives their candidates is almost
It's zero.
Almost non-existent.
There's a part-time person working in the office in Montpelier. I must say, though, about my campaign, because I have worked so well with Democrats and progressives, no one came after me. Secondly,
I think everybody knew you were going to win, though.
Well, no, but I think it was more than that. First, there was no concerted effort by the Democratic leadership to come after me. Number two, a number of the leading Democrats publicly endorsed me. Dick Mazza in Colchester, Grand Isle, Hinda Miller in Chittenden County, Dick Sears and Bob Hartwell down in Bennington County, Peter Galbraith, former ambassador, whose father, of course, was a world-famous economist, served as ambassador to India, where a number of the Bill Karras, the Democratic majority leader in Rutland County, they all endorsed me, publicly held events for me, attended events, contributed to my campaign in one level or another. And I must say that, you know, they say in politics, if you want a friend, get a dog.
Right.
But I think this election for me meant a great deal. Obviously, I would like to have won. But it demonstrated that these people that I've worked with, in some cases for over 20 years, Dick Mazza's case, probably 26 years, said, we're going to put party politics aside. We're going to vote and support Vince because he has worked and supported us on our issues. That meant a lot to me.
For those of you just tuning in, our guest this morning is Senator Vince Saluzzi. So how were you, when you started looking at the polls, the poll numbers coming in, and because it quickly, you
right.
quickly saw there was something not happening
that right.
you wanted to happen.
I knew campaigning during the summer that the Republican label was in tough shape in Vermont. You know, I spent the whole summer in Vermont, so I can't tell if people had that same sense outside of Vermont, but clearly here, being a Republican was a liability. Not only that, you then had a couple of knuckleheaded comments made by U.S. Senate candidates in, I think, Missouri and Indiana, talking about the legitimacy of rape. I mean, these people are insane. And how they could get the mantle of the Republican Party in their state to run for those positions is just, I just can't figure out how they did it. And so you have a liability to start off with. You then have boneheaded comments by folks like those. And then you have Mitt Romney making the comment that 47% of the people don't pay taxes and I'll never get their support, and so I'm going to have to worry about the other 53. Just a combination of that on top of everything else was just a killer. I might say that Mitt Romney, when he was governor of Massachusetts, was a moderate governor who did reach across the aisle and by and large did a good job. In 2008, we wrote a comprehensive housing bill in Vermont. We used in drafting the Vermont legislation models of legislation that he had proposed to the Massachusetts House and Senate. What happened to Mitt Romney is he was destroyed by the Republican primary process. Needing to make these pledges and go far right to get that nomination. And by the time he came out of that primary process, he was crippled. He was handicapped. And then you had the comments from some of the others. It was just a lost cause from my perspective. And I think that also contributed to the defeat of Republican candidates in Vermont.
Well, you said one thing that really I totally understand is I watched, whether you like John McCain or not, when he was running, he suddenly transformed into somebody I didn't even recognize anymore, because people start playing into the polls and they will say anything they have to say
right.
to be elected. And it isn't only them, but it's the money interests that are supporting them also put pressure on them.
Right. They destroyed. It's those folks, the ultra-right, who claim to be Republicans, who apparently control a lot of the money, is, in my judgment, what destroyed Mitt Romney, who had been previously a moderate governor in a very liberal state of Massachusetts, and who, by all accounts, did a very good job as governor of Massachusetts. And that's what happened because of the Republican primary process. Now, just so you know, I gave very serious consideration to running as an independent this year. The chair of the party said, if you run as an independent, we're going to run a Republican against you. It'll be a three-way race. You're guaranteed to lose. So I had that to deal with. And so in the final analysis, I figured I could be the independent Republican that I have been for 32 years. But it was not to come to pass in this presidential election year.
We only have about two more minutes left. What would you like to say to the listeners, whether, you know, thanking them for their support or maybe for your future?
Well, I want to say first that as I wrote in some op-eds that have been published in newspapers around the state, it's been a privilege to serve for 32 years. I've made some great friends who will remain with me. As you know, a former legislator, it's not the specific votes in particular that you remember as time passes and as memory starts to fade. It's the relationships and the friends that you have made. I've made some great friends. It's been a world-class education. But in the end, I never forgot the people who elected me. And I worked very hard to represent the interests of the Northeast Kingdom, which oftentimes required me to take on the more urban areas like Chittenden County and Washington County and Windsor County. But through persuasion and hard work, I was able to make sure that the Northeast Kingdom was front and center on my legislative agenda each day for 32 years.
Well, Vince, I think as a history writer myself, I can tell you, you are going to go down in the history of this region because, you know, I can't think of another legislator in this region, you know, other than, say, maybe former Senator, U.S. Senator Prouty, you know, who has done more for this region. And you will have a special place in this region's history. And as I said, if I'm a betting man, if I were a betting man, I still suspect I will be seeing the name of Luzzi back on the senatorial ballot in 2 years.
One more thing I wanted to add, and that is Lola Aiken was my honorary campaign chair, and I know that she and George Aiken have a special place in your heart, and it was great to have her help me.
Oh, Lola is such a sweetheart. At 100 years old, she is just a true gem.
Yes, she is. And thanks for the opportunity to share my thoughts and for your kind comments.
Thank you. Our guest this morning was Senator Vince Valluzzi.
The Vermont Voice is brought to you today by the generous sponsorship of the Orleans-Essex Visiting Nurses Association and Hospice, providing more than 40 years of quality and compassionate home care in the Northeast Kingdom.
Vermonters helping Vermonters. We're here to help those that need 24/7 healthcare and assistance to stay in the familiarity of their own home. And we've been doing it for 40 years. Let our family take care of yours. We're Orleans Essex Visiting Nurse Association and Hospice and their long-term care division, Home First Quality Care. We're a nonprofit organization providing healthcare, skilled professional home and hospice care, along with long-term care services. For over 40 years, we've provided round-the-clock care for the community, along with a full range of services. Orleans Essex Visiting Nurse Association and Hospice uses cutting-edge technology to assist your care, and we work closely with your physician. We are Medicare and Medicaid certified and state of Vermont designated, and our fees are adjusted to your individual income. For experience, compassion, and dedication from your fellow Vermonters, choose Orleans Essex Visiting Nurse Association and Hospice on Lake Mott Road next to the hospital. Call 334-5213 or visit OrleansEssexVNA.org. Orleans Essex Visiting Nurse Association and Hospice and their long-term care division, Home First Quality Care. Vermonters helping Vermonters.